Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Have you been praying and you still have no answers? Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? Don't forget the things that He has done before. And remember He can do it all once more. It's like the brightest sunrise waiting on the other side on the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope. Hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn. All His promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet.
Edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 16, one of the most exciting books because it's still being written today. There's still acts of the Spirit that's working in the lives of the church.
It's so exciting to be a part of the moving, the growing. A message that started 2,000 years ago, we're still preaching the same message, and it is still changing people's lives. It's great to be a part of the church.
It is, and this is exciting because these are journeys. We're looking at the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. When you think about the journeys that you make back then compared to journeys today, you get on an airplane, you're there in a couple hours.
Right.
These things, boats and walking and, you know, it's no automobiles. A little more challenging, but also exciting.
There's got to be a level of commitment that these guys had to,
they did.
To sail for days, weeks, months, you know, for the like you said, the walking down the Roman roads and following the signs for who knows how long. You're in danger in the country. You're in danger in the city. You're in danger of wild beasts. Paul talks about all of the journeys, all of the experiences that he had. You got to be committed to do something like that.
Let alone following the signs, you know. I mean, how do you know you really? The signs weren't
exactly.
No GPS back then. You could end up somewhere where you didn't want to be.
You know, and like the Wile E. Coyote, he'd switch the sign on the Roadrunner. Are you sure you're going the right way, buddy?
So we're in verse number 16 of chapter 16. It says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, where we met a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future." Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, she's a slave girl, but she's obviously being controlled by an evil spirit in this case, but she predicts the future. There's a lot of people when you drive down, especially in the South, you see people that are mediums and they got the sign out and they're looking to read your palm, tell your future. So this is nothing new.
No.
I mean, this spiritism is something that's been around for a long time. And here, this girl is predicting the future of people. You know, it's almost like a Chinese fortune cookie.
Yeah, the fortune, yes. But you will go on a long trip.
You will.
I just came back from one.
it's interesting to me that they did have a lottery one time, and the fortune cookie sometimes gives you a lottery number, and five people won it because they played the same number on the
on the fortune cookie. Wow.
I don't recommend that as a way to play the lottery because I think you're just throwing your money away. I guess if you won it, you probably would call me a liar.
Yeah, but, you know.
But generally speaking, your odds are not very good.
No.
But here, they ran in. They were going to pray, and they run into this slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. Now, it's interesting to me that I would imagine it's a young girl. It talks about a slave girl. So she's a slave. So somebody is using her. I mean, this kind of slavery has always been. It seems like they've always taken, especially girls, and they've put them in some kind of slavery.
Right.
And this girl's they're using her to tell the fortune, and she's making big money for people. So obviously, they're concerned about her getting saved, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, you're going off to find some time with God, and then you're surrounded. Well,
you are surrounded.
You get connected. It's not even the right word, but you come across this. And listen, like you said, it's happening today.
Today.
It's rampant today.
It is.
It's becoming worse today. We see it all over New England, all around the world, this sort of stuff. And, you know, what's interesting, what's jumped off the page to me, Pastor, is that they've made a great deal of money.
Bingo.
The fortune-telling trade or, you know, that industry, multi-million dollar. You call the psychic hotline, you know, the psychics, the fortune tellers. It is a multi-million dollar business. And that's what it was back here 2,000 years ago.
Yeah. I always love, though, what someone says about the fortune tellers. They're always in a trailer or some real small place. And if they were really fortune tellers, why wouldn't they win the lottery and live in a mansion?
And have a little bit nicer outfit.
Yeah. Because somebody's making a lot of money here. And I did yell bingo on that. I don't know if we got that one. But sometimes people do gamble for those kinds of things. But this girl began to follow Paul and the rest of the team, the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." So it sounds really good.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you, now that's like an advertising.
There you go. It's free advertising.
Free advertising. For one thing, people know who she is.
Right.
They've been used to her telling fortunes, paying her money, and now she's saying, "Look at these are good guys.
Yeah.
Follow them."
Yeah.
You know, good people.
This is a very interesting passage of Scripture because I know what happens next. But so here they are connected to this person, and somehow the spirit, we understand this is a demonic spirit that knows, even the demons know who God is. Even the demons understand who Jesus is, and they shudder. They shake because they know that their end, they know what their end is going to be. So here, this girl under this demonic spirit is saying, these guys serve God, and they're telling you how to be saved, and she's declaring that. But I'm wondering how she's saying it. I'm wondering what the tone of her voice is or what it is about her that causes to happen what's going to happen in just a few minutes. But to read it just like this, you're saying, oh, this is a nice girl. She's telling them nice things. Well,
she is.
We have to keep reading to find the rest of the story.
Yeah, verse number 18 says she kept this up for many days.
Yeah.
I think there's the secret right there.
Yep.
The many days is a continual dripping of a faucet,
right,
if you will.
Yeah.
It's a continual thing that is just, you know that this is something that's not right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like an angel of light, if you'd say. She sounded good at first,
right,
but eventually, wait a minute, something's not quite right with this situation.
Yeah.
And finally, Paul becomes so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, not to her, but to the spirit. Mm. I think that's pretty interesting. But because of her constantly, continually following them and calling this out, Paul recognizes that there's something that is spiritually wrong, because it's not a normal thing for somebody to do that continually. And we find that sometimes true that happens. I've had it happen sometimes in a church service where someone is saying something too many times and interrupting really what the preacher is going on. And one time I actually got up from my seat and went over and sat beside them. Now, I wasn't preaching at the time. Somebody else was. But I got up and sat beside this person. Didn't say a word, but the person stopped. No longer did he say anything. And that, I think, at that particular moment, found out later that he was off his meds and there was something that was happening that was spiritually inducing this manifestation, if you will. And this is what happens here. Paul, all of a sudden, he's troubled. When your spirit is troubled, that's when you need to kind of look around. I mean, even in your own life, there may be something that you feel troubled about. Maybe you should try to examine, why am I troubled?
Right,
what is this? Why is it? Is it some kind of a spiritual thing that's trying to distract me from what God wants? So being troubled can be a sign that something is not quite right. And that's what happened to Paul.
And Paul definitely responded to it in
right the, to the spirit.
Proper way. He felt something in his spirit. And a lot of Christianity, it's not just here's the fact and walking in it. A lot of Christianity and living out your salvation has to do with what you sense.
That's
and
excellent.
What you feel. So
it's the Spirit of God that's within you that is speaking to you and guiding you and directing you and analyzing the situation and saying, hey, look at this is not right. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. So I'm assuming that when the spirit left her, then all of a sudden she's not going around saying this anymore. She's not speaking. She's not continually saying this anymore. So there was a manifestation and a clear deliverance of this girl.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And we believe in the deliverance power of God, that God is a miracle worker and he can deliver people who are in bondage to darkness.
Now, the interesting thing is that when the owner of this slave girl realized that their hope for making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the
marketplace. Yeah, into the marketplace there.
To face the authorities.
Right.
So they're losing money, so they're going to take Paul to court. Is what they're going to do. And it's a marketplace court. And, you know, and if you've ever traveled into China, it's interesting because we traveled into China in the early days when China was just opening the door for people to travel in. We're talking about the late 80s. And so we're traveling into China and my family's with me, my mom, my dad, and my kids, my wife. In the middle of the street, there is an accident that takes place, and it's at night. Well, before you know it, the whole neighborhood gathers around. There's no police. The neighborhood gathers, and everybody's arguing, and it's loud.
Yeah.
And it's really getting out of control, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It looks like, where's the police? How come somebody's not here taking care of this? But what happens is, that's kind of like the marketplace. Yeah. They're yelling at each other, and by the time they get done, they've determined who made the mistake.
Who was at fault?
Who's at fault? Yeah. They've determined among themselves. No police, no nothing. Yeah. They've done it. They've had, in the marketplace.
They've had the judge, the jury.
They had it all.
They had it all.
And so we were sitting there amazed at it, and then everybody went about their own business, but they took care of it themselves. It was in the marketplace.
They judged it themselves.
They judged it. Today you go to court and you might get a judgment you don't like and it takes forever. I mean, somebody does something, it takes years before they get prosecuted. That was handled right on the spot.
Here, no money was no court costs, no judge fees, none of that. No having to, get a lawyer and all of that jazz. Let's just take care of it ourselves. We're smart enough to do this. If we can drive the car, we can figure out who hit who.
It wasn't a car, it was a cart.
Oh, the cart.
It was a cart. It was a little easier.
Yeah, there you go.
But nevertheless, it was taken care of. Right, so here, that's
same
probably what's happening.
Yeah,
they're dragging him in front of the marketplace and to face the authorities. Now, the authorities could have been the town leadership or whatever it was, but they knew they were losing money because now all of a sudden now this spirit who was inside this girl that was controlling her and also making money for people, then all of a sudden this spirit is gone and they're losing money. And so they bring them before the magistrate and said, these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar. Uproar.
Uproar.
All they're doing is taking money away from scoundrels is what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of an interesting picture that I guess this was allowed. You know, obviously slavery was allowed, which is kind of a sad thing. I mean, not all slavery was bad in Scripture. And, there's a story to be told about that. But here, this one is kind of a little off. And this poor girl is being used by these people to bilk people out of their money. Basically, they're robbing people by this woman telling their fortune when it doesn't work, folks. I'm sorry, your fortune telling just doesn't work. So
it's almost like, though, when we see what happens sometimes in politics, when a politician's his gain that he's getting from something, and someone says, no, you can't do that, and someone comes in and says, no, that's not proper.
Right.
You have to stop this. All of a sudden, now they get upset, and they attack that person. And it seems like in politics, people want to protect their benefits that they're getting from being a politician.
Exactly.
It's amazing to me how someone can go in as a politician at a $150,000 a year salary, and then in a few years, they're worth $35
million. Yeah.
You wonder, well, how does that happen?
How did that work?
How does that work out? And so this is kind of what's happening here. And so all of a sudden now, these guys are brought up before the magistrates, and we've got them saying things like they're advocating customs that are unlawful. Now, what does that actually mean for us Romans? Yeah. Unlawful for us, not politically correct for us to accept or our practice. And see, that's what's so important about God's word, because you cannot just use the cultural norms as an example of what is right and what is wrong. There are biblical absolutes, but we don't like the biblical absolutes.
No.
We don't want that at all. We want what we want.
Right.
So this guy's saying, these are accepted by Romans. This is our cultural acceptable political correctness.
Right.
No.
No.
No, not going to work.
You know, it's pretty interesting. I was talking to somebody earlier about our citizenship. You know, I love America. America's a great nation, great country, just like I'm sure the Romans thought at this time. They were a part of a great democracy that was happening, and Rome had taken over the world and had brought peace, basically. And
even though they killed all their emperors.
Even though they killed all their, there was peace and there was peace.
And gladiators.
You know, but for the most part, it probably wasn't that bad of an existence. And here but even here in America, our citizenship is in heaven. So what Paul and Silas were promoting hey, listen, I'm a Roman citizen, Paul says. I'm a Roman citizen, I'm a Jew, but I'm also a kingdom of God citizen. And this is what I'm presenting to you. And they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear, the message that Paul had to preach. And so once again, here they go again. They get into this uproar and they find themselves standing before the magistrates about ready to get whooped on.
Yeah, and who knows whether these people were paying off magistrates or not to turn their other cheek, if you will, and not notice what they were doing. But like you said, Paul and Silas were concerned about the actual well-being of people, wanting to make sure that they had a relationship with God in heaven, that they were following an understanding that they needed Jesus to come into their life to be saved. And so they're trying to say, you don't need evil spirits to guide you. Right. You need the Spirit of God to guide you.
Amen.
And so this is what's happening here. And so the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. So just like in China, I mentioned how the crowd joins in.
Right.
The crowd loves to get involved.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a bad call on a football field.
Yeah.
Look out. The crowd gets involved, you know. A bad call on a basketball court, and everybody gets upset. And so what happens is the magistrates are trying to keep order. That's all they're doing. And sometimes to keep order, you have to use fear, because that's what they're doing. They're going to use fear. Can't use logic. The crowd's gone crazy.
Right.
So they strip them and they beat them.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You know, all for the name of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
All for the name of Christ. Paul and Silas are out here. They're preaching the word. They're not doing anything evil. They're
all
not doing anything wicked.
All they did is cast out a demon out of this
woman.
They
just set a person free demonic forces, and look what happens to them. It's almost like in retaliation, the demonic forces say, you're going to set them free. Listen what I'm doing to you. So,
after they've been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully.
Yeah.
Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks.
They weren't going anywhere. These guys were pretty
inner
secure.
Cell.
They're in the inner cell.
Double bars.
So these guys are in a very dark place in the sense of they're in a dark cell. They've just been stripped. They're no clothes. They're beaten. They're hurting. Their feet are in stocks. They can't move. It's very uncomfortable. And I'm sure they're just sitting there going, all for casting a demon out of a girl. This is how we get treated?
Come on.
You know? Yeah.
What's this about?
And you would think to yourself, wow, what would I do in that situation?
Well, if you've been listening and following along, you're going to want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
But we're not going to tell you today.
Not going to tell you.
You're going to have to tune in next week to see what happens to Paul and Silas as they were thrown in this dark prison for doing a good deed. Hey, this is Pastor Adams. Don't worry. It's not only given to you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer also. Have a great day. God bless.